The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. It was the festival of the dedication of Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, but no one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Gracious God, thank you so much for those amazing shepherds known as nurses, aides, and housekeepers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. And good morning.
Good morning.
A number of years ago, I had a sabbatical. I spent 2 months of that sabbatical volunteering at St. Luke's Roosevelt Hospital in New York City. And I want to tell you about a woman who was a patient on the AIDS ward of that hospital. And this was in the early 90s when AIDS was just ravishing New York City. Her name was Celeste Baptiste, and I was her paper boy. Every morning on my way to the hospital, I would buy a copy of the New York Post and bring it to Celeste. Celeste was in her 30s. She was gentle and modest and gracious and humble and a little shy and also in terrible pain because Celeste not only had AIDS, but she also had tuberculosis. And as you know, TB is a terrible disease. It's highly infectious, which means that Celeste could never leave her room, she could never have a roommate, and anybody who visited her had to wear a mask and a gown and gloves. As you may know, tuberculosis affects the lungs. They fill up with liquid and it's really hard to breathe. You're always short of breath. I mean, I don't know if you've ever tried to clear your throat and you've coughed and coughed and it's been really difficult. So just imagine coughing like that for 24 hours while your head is just splitting from a headache and you're totally exhausted from not getting any sleep. Well, every morning I'd walk into Celeste's room with her newspaper and she'd look at me with a slightly apologetic smile and she'd say, "I'm just so tired of being tired." Well, I've started with Celeste because the outcome of her story is going to help us understand the gospel that we've just heard. So we're going to get back to her in just a couple of minutes. But right now, let's shift from Celeste to shepherds and sheep because they're surrounding us this morning, including the wonderful prelude that we heard as well. In today's collect, Charlotte just prayed, "O God, whose Son Jesus is the good shepherd of the sheep." In the psalm that we just have recited, it began, "The Lord is my shepherd." In the hymn at the start of this service, we sang, "Savior, like a shepherd, lead us." And then in the gospel that Rick just read, Jesus says very directly, "I am the good shepherd." So they're everywhere this morning. And one of the purposes of all these references is to call to task that old Sunday school image that you may remember if you're of a certain age, of the shepherd who's got long, silky, blonde hair and who looks slightly anemic and who's sweet and meek and mild. I once went to a rodeo in Nevada that was put on by Basque shepherds, those shepherds from the northern part of Spain. One contest, it called for those Basque shepherds to take off their shoes and barefoot stand on a log and then chop the log with the axe coming down inches from their toes to see who got to chop the log through first. Let me tell you, those Basque shepherds were not anemic and did not have long, silky, blonde hair. And in today's gospel, Jesus paints this picture of a shepherd who's a little bit more like those Basque shepherds, anything but meek and mild. Jesus says two things about these shepherds. First of all, he says that a shepherd is someone who knows the sheep in his flock by name. So one good definition of a Christian is that he or she is a person who is known. By definition, a Christian cannot be a nameless face in the crowd. I mean, have you ever come up to somebody here at St. Andrew's on Sunday morning, someone that looks new, and say, "Welcome to St. Andrew's Church," and that person has said to you, "Well, thank you, I've been worshiping here for 30 years. I know my own," says Jesus. I know the name of every single person in the pews and in the choir right here this morning. Then Jesus says one more thing, one more quality of being a good shepherd. He's talking about how he's going to watch over us as a shepherd watches over his flock. And he says, "No one can snatch them out of my hands." Well, when I first read this verse this past week, I had a very fast response. I said, "Well, now, hang on, Jesus, I'm not sure." Because that, in fact, is sometimes what it feels like. Sometimes it feels as though snatching is the last word. I mean, I just wonder if that rings true at all to your experience. Let me give you an example. 1986, Game 6. Do I need to say anything more to those of you of a certain age? It was the ninth inning, and the Red Sox were one strike. Let me just repeat that. One strike away from winning the World Series for the first time in 70 years. And the image of that slow grounder bouncing through the legs of Bill Buckner is a picture of joy being snatched away. And here's the point. Every single one of us here this morning knows exactly how Bill felt at that moment. We have all had Game 6 experiences. Sometimes we can describe them in detail years later. And then, of course, there's the worst snatching of all, the snatching of life itself. In Ukraine, and by the way, on my phone just about an hour ago, I saw a notice that a school in Ukraine had been bombed and some 60 kids and adults had been killed. There's the snatching of life itself in the Holy Land, where I'll be visiting some others on a pilgrimage this coming week, and my wife, Hilda, who's here, she's going with me. There's the snatching that goes on in bullying in our high schools. There's the snatching that goes on in the streets of Springfield, and we know that tragically from the death of a couple of kids this past weekend. And it's precisely in the face of this worst snatching that the shocking and disturbing and thrilling claim of Jesus is made. It's precisely in the face of all of these snatching realities that Jesus says, "No one will snatch them out of my hand." How can Jesus dare to say this? How can Jesus make such a wild claim? Well, he can do it because right now we are coming to the very core of the gospel. He can do it because he has chosen of his own free will to take the human experience of being snatched onto his own shoulders. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who chose to become Jesus, the sacrifice lamb. Back in 2001, a priest was trying to console a father whose daughter had died in the World Trade Towers. And the father said to the priest, and I quote, "I would give anything to have been the one to die that day and for her to live. I would gladly die if she could have just one more week of her life." And that's a tiny hint of the cosmic transaction of love that took place on the cross. The Good Shepherd chose to be snatched into death on our behalf. And then, as that snatching was transformed into new life 3 days later, the issue of an incredible invitation is offered to you and me. The invitation to have that transformation take hold in our lives as well. We are invited to trust the Easter promise that snatching cannot have the last word. Now, that does not mean that we are immune from suffering and pain and sorrow and even death itself. In fact, it may mean that we're more open to those hard realities. But it also means that in the hardest ache and in the worst of moments, the arms of the Good Shepherd are there. That is the last word. Which brings us back now to Celeste, and I want to conclude with Celeste. And we also return to some friends of hers as well, some friends who trusted the Easter promise, some friends who were shepherds in the name of Jesus. One day, Celeste said this to me, "You know who helps me more than anyone? The nurses' aides and the housekeepers. They don't have to work on this floor. They choose to be on this AIDS ward, and they're the ones I see every day. They mop my floor, they bring me my food, they empty my bedpan, they talk to me, they hold my hand. They are my real chaplains." The next morning, I walked into Celeste's room with the newspaper, and she was lying on her bed, her eyes were closed. She had shallow breaths, and as I stood by her bed, Celeste took her last breath. I stood there for a little bit, and I said a prayer, and then I went to tell the nurses. And I came back into Celeste's room and sat in a chair while a doctor came in to confirm that she had died. The doctor left, and then into her room came four nurses' aides, four shepherds who had stood beside Celeste through all of her pain. And here they were again, standing with Celeste one last time, as her lungs became clear, as her hospital gown was transformed into a beautiful dress, as her tired of being tired was transformed into joy. These four shepherds gathered around Celeste's bed, two on each side. They began to prepare her body. And as they worked, they started singing. And the sound of "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot" filled the room as Celeste headed out into her new life. "I know my own at St. Andrew's Church," says our Shepherd God, "and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Amen.